Okay, where did his soul go? Where did Mr. Wang 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 go? Sorry? Huh? He went to? He went to hell? Anyone here? You went to? No, just shut up, answer, don't worry. You went to heaven, okay? Some believe they went to heaven, some believe they went to hell. Okay, so how? We must be very clear on this, huh? Okay, because it's very, very important, okay? So he lived in a country that believed there's no God. He lived on an island for many years. He was helping his dad. Then he got married, worked hard for his family. As he got along in the year, he retired. Eyes got worse. One day he was knocked down by a car, maybe like the Chandra Mohan, I think Mohan Chandra. He was killed yesterday morning, all right, at a Changi Budget Terminal. Many of you read the sad thing. But okay, Mr. Wang died that day. He never once heard about a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who died to save his soul. So where did he go? Sorry, into a lake of fire. Okay, anyone else? Okay. There's a discrepancy there in terms of understanding here. Okay, for those who said that they went to heaven, why do you say they went to heaven? No, just share, don't worry. Okay, you didn't hear about our Lord. Okay, so okay, anyone else? Anyone else? What about those who said that he went to hell? Why? Why do you say that he went to hell? Yeah. Okay. 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 So on the other hand, there's the law of God is written on our hearts, Romans chapter 2. Okay, and so there's an age of accountability. Now, okay. I think in order to explain this, I think a good illustration is the Titanic. Okay, Titanic. Alright, when the Titanic went down, how many people was on the Titanic? I think it's about 2,500, I think. Yeah, about 2,500 people. How many on board the Titanic knew that Carpathia was nearby? You know Carpathia? Carpathia was the fishing boat that was nearby that actually came over to rescue some of the people. How many people in the Titanic knew that Carpathia were nearby? They probably didn't know. It was pitch dark. Oh, it was pitch dark. Okay? And so, how many people managed to be saved? About 700 plus people, right? So how many people went down? 1,700. They didn't hear about Carpathia, but they went down anyway. Okay? Now, it's important that we understand this. It's interesting also that we actually have two sides of the coin in terms of thinking. Now, what does the Bible say? Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Okay, John chapter 3. Perhaps you have other verses that you may want to bring up. I'll just bring up John chapter 3. But anyone have other verses that you thought of to substantiate why you believe he went to heaven, why you believe he went to hell? John 10:9, okay. John 10 and verse 9. Okay, we'll just turn John 10:9 first. Okay. Want to read that?
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Okay, Jesus said he's the door. So it talks about specifically Jesus is the door, but it doesn't talk about if someone doesn't trust, it's not a Christian, he won't be in heaven. Okay, so we know that Jesus is the way. But any other verses that people can think of? Sorry?
Romans 1:20.
Okay, Romans 1:20. Eva Denzel, you want to read that? Okay, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, in terms of this, you're referring to the Gentiles who had no knowledge of God. But actually, Paul says, no, you have a knowledge of God. Because God made himself known through his creation. That's general revelation. That's general revelation. God made himself known through the creation of the world. So it's interesting that many people will believe that there must be a God. When you look at the sun, there must be with all the creation, there must be something. And actually, if you think about that, before evolution come in, everyone believed that there was a God. Okay, even the people in the past. So, but this verse tells us that everyone is without excuse, whether they believe or not. Okay, now lest we misunderstand God, some people will say that's not fair. They have never heard the gospel and they died and went to hell. Okay, we have to understand this. We are all born sinners. We are all born sinners. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, in Psalm 51:5. We were born in iniquity, which means that the moment we are born, we are already condemned. Okay? And that's a very important thing for us to understand. When we are born already, we are already sinners. Okay? Because I think one of the very telling evidence is for younger children who can lie to you, or younger children can gang, you know, younger children can kind of pretend. Where do they learn all these things from? I think I shared before, parents will never teach their children to lie, parents will never teach their children to do wrong, and yet somehow the younger children is able to hide certain things. Okay, it's like our children will, let's say maybe just a 2 or 3 year old will go up, he know he's not supposed to eat the cake, and then he took the cake and then he see all the cream on the face. Do you eat the cake? No. What makes a child say that? You know, even though it's in their innocence, but can you see that it's actually the sinful nature coming up? You did not teach the children to lie. Okay, and so from young, children already have the sinful nature in them. Okay, and the Bible says in Romans 6:23, what does it say? The wages of sin is death. Okay, and so does that make sense? So wait, based on the Bible, let's turn to John chapter 3. Okay? I wanted to show you that. John chapter 3:36. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Okay? Jesus made it plain. Anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life. Anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not have everlasting life. Not only that, what does he have? The anger of God, the wrath of God actually stays on that person. In other words, on a continuous basis, everyone who has never trusted Christ is under the constant hand of God. And it was Jonathan Edwards, I think one preacher, who said that it's only by the grace of God that we are still surviving if you're not a Christian. It's only by God's grace we are still on this earth. Alright? And so, where did Mr. Wang go? Even though it is hard to think about it, you realize one thing. Let's turn to Matthew, alright? I want us to see God's heart first, because many people have, because of this, rejected God and said, God, that's not fair. You know, a person have never heard Christ and you're sending them to hell. Let's turn to Matthew 25 and verse 41. Okay. The Bible says in verse 41, I just want to pick up a key phrase from there. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the Lord Jesus actually had to cast people into hell, but Jesus made it clear it was never for you. It was for the devil and his angels. But if you go back all the way to Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, man chose en bloc to follow the devil, because after Adam and Eve, everyone that came down inherited the sinful nature of Adam. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So when Esther Joy was born, he inherited my nature. My nature is not good. My nature is sinful. And so she inherited my sinful nature. And so she needed to be saved too. Does it make sense? As she grow up older, and if she chooses the way of Christ, she gets to go to heaven because she put faith in Christ. But if she chooses the way of the world and doesn't want to follow Christ, okay, and doesn't want to trust Christ as Savior, Then God says, well, I've done all I can to reach you. Does that make sense? Any questions? From an intellectual point of view, we find that that's not logical. God, you're too loving. Now, I want you to be careful. Don't be stumbled by that. Because man originally, if no one came to tell us about Christ, you see, we will, let's put it this way. Let's look from God's perspective first. If God sends a person to hell, is he just and righteous? Is he just and righteous? If God, let's say a person has sinned against God, and he sends someone to hell without telling them the gospel, is he just and righteous? If someone has sinned against God, if someone has sinned against God, and then there was no one who paid for him, is God just and righteous? Is he holy? Is he holy? If let's say I did wrong against Uncle Roland, and no one comes to help me, I have to pay for whatever I've done to him, right? So that means I'm guilty already. Does it make sense? It's a very, very important thing. Sometimes some people just cannot understand, because all along they've thought, yes, God is a God of love, and He is. And that's why the basic premise of Christianity is to understand sin first. If you don't realize sin is so serious, you will never understand why Jesus has to come to pay the price. Okay? I'll follow along. For those who may have some difficulty understanding this, I hope you, at the end of the day, you understand why Mr. Wang went to hell. He actually went to hell because Jesus says, if anyone did not hear my name and did not put a trust in him, even if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't want to, he cannot allow Mr. Wang into heaven. You know why? Because Mr. Wang has a sinful nature. Okay? He has a sinful nature. Agree? Let's turn to Revelation. Okay? Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. But Mr. Wang actually had a sinful nature, and so what happened? Even if Jesus wanted to, if the Lord Jesus wanted to, can he allow Mr. Wang into heaven? Okay, let's look at Revelation 21 and verse number 27. Okay, Revelation 21:27. Let's read it all together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, in his revelation to St. John, okay, the Apostle John, said, he revealed heaven, the new heaven and new earth, and he said, the heaven is so great, so nice, so wonderful, and he said, there shall in no wise, what no wise mean? Under no circumstances, in no situation, there is no reason whatsoever that can be given, will anyone allow anything that is corrupted and defiles into heaven. Okay? But who can go in? The Bible says that, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? By trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, any questions? Don't be stumbled by that. Because many, even sometimes well-meaning Christians, because of their great love for people, say, that God, that's not fair. Maybe the first time they heard about that and say, that's not fair, Lord, that if someone doesn't hear about the gospel, then they are being sent to hell. We have to understand first off that man is sinful already by nature. And so when God sends a person to hell, not that he wants to, he had no choice. Is he just and holy? Is he just and holy? Yes, he is. Because based on the penalty of sin, he has to judge that person. Okay? That should help us to recognize one thing, a lot. But then, when God saves us, is he just and holy as well? Sounds a bit inconsistent, right? But he is. You know why? Jesus Christ paid for it. The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize the Lord Jesus was punished at the cross for our sin? Any questions up to there? I'm glad we had this kind of discussion. I didn't mean to, but it's interesting because we must make it very clear, those people who have never trusted Christ, who have never heard about Jesus Christ, they are on their way to hell. They are on their way to hell. You know, one of the saddest things for me, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, when I go knocking, I will already ask him, have you heard about Jesus? He said, yes. Have you heard what he did for you? No. In Singapore, where there are 600 churches, and we have mega churches as well, and there are people still have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them. You know, that's why we need to understand, people are on their way to hell. That's why. Why do you think, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, firstly to pay for sin, you know what he did the next thing? He established a church to go and tell everyone. Because there are many people who have never heard before. Does that make sense? I probably answered your third question already. What does that mean for us? You know what? That is what we call the textbook answer. We need to go. But what does it mean for us personally? If people are dying and going to hell, our neighbor, the people that we go tracking about, our relatives, and are dying and going to hell, what does that mean to us? Does it mean anything to us? No, really, if it doesn't mean anything, we need to have the compassion of Christ, which I preached on last week. Remember, Jesus' motivation is compassion. Compassion sees the need in others and will do something about it. Because otherwise, it's just sympathy. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Okay? There's a difference between sympathy, empathy, and compassion. Compassion will do all they can to reach that person. And that was what Jesus did. He did all he can to reach people. But you know what? He then tell the church, go. I want you to tell everyone. That's why he says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, what? Teach all nations. Mark 16, 15, what? Go ye in all the way and preach the gospel to what? Every living creature. And that's in the original. Every living creature. Okay? And then in the book of Luke 24, what? This gospel, repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? And then in John chapter 20, 21, even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Why do you think Jesus gave the commission? Why? Because there are millions of people like Mr. Wang. You realize half the population of the world have not even heard about. I'm not talking about heard about the name of Jesus, you know, but actually heard what he did for them. That's the difference. Many people heard about the name of Jesus and they love Jesus. Why? He's him, you know. With all the portrayal of the Lord Jesus, no. Jesus, they need to know what Jesus did for them specifically. And the third question is, what does that mean for me? If people are really dying, going to hell, what does it mean for me? Let's look at Matthew 25. One verse that really breaks my heart all the time, every time I read. I hope it does for you too. In Matthew 25, 46, the last verse. Matthew 25, 46. Remember when these people are not only separated from God, but notice in verse 46, Matthew 25, 46. The first part says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Everlasting punishment. Just stop and think about that two words for what? Everlasting punishment. If God is lying, then we don't have to worry about it. Although the Bible is true. In other words, if someone dies and goes to hell, he not only goes to hell, he goes into everlasting punishment. That's what he says. And that's in active tense, you know. Everlasting, ongoing punishment. Again and again and again. In fact, Revelation 14:10 makes it even clear. They have no rest, night or day. The wrath of God is upon them. Why do we need to win people to Christ? People are dying, going to hell. Why do we think we go out Tuesday and Wednesday, even no matter how tired we are, we need to go out because someone needs the word of life. If someone is drowning and you are tired, what do? You just, I don't care, I'm dry, I'm going, I'm diving in. I think in FBI, we heard about the illustration that Pastor Johnny has mentioned. If a child is, the mother who cannot swim, a child is into the water, what's mom going to do? Hey, sorry, I cannot swim. No, he's just going to, don't care, just jump in and do all she can to save the child. So that really is the compassion of Christ. And I'm not saying that, well, I don't have that kind of heart. That's why we need to be close to Christ to the point that we can learn what unconditional love is. We're not here to judge anyone, not here to put a guilt trip on anyone, but you know what? That's why the emphasis always is to keep ourselves close to Christ to the point we can see the world as Christ sees. In Philippians chapter 2, talking about the fact that we need to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ, the vision of Christ, the eyes of Christ, that to the point that our personal comforts are no longer important. If someone else, it was John Bunyan, I love this one. John Bunyan was a powerful preacher for Christ. You know, I should show you the DVD one time. He said this in his life, he said, if my whole life, through my preaching, he said, if only one soul was brought to Christ, it would be worth it. If I preach for my whole life, but one soul turned to Christ with all his heart, my ministry would have been worth it. Just one soul. Why? Because that soul is so immensely important to Jesus that he had to pay his life to save that life. Does that make sense? Do you realize, Mr. Wang, it's a real situation, I think I shared before, it's my personal situation, when I went to China, this is what I saw. And it was the first thing that me and my missionary friends were saying, this person lived here for 70 years, never heard the gospel under a communist regime, died in an accident, and went straight to hell. Because no one went to tell him. Or at least those two missionaries were trying, they were just fresh there, right? They were just trying to start their mission. But you know what, people are dying every day, okay? Any questions? Now, I hope that, that kind of, hopefully that set, not so much set us up, but I think we all know this, amen? We all know this. We all know this. But what does it take to get us from what we know to actually doing? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. I'll go on. But, you know, meditate upon that and say, Lord, touch my heart. Okay? Let's move on first. Now, we're talking about winning people to Christ. Now, what is a witness? Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? Any questions, please feel free to stop me. All right? Okay? It's a learning time. I want us to be a bit interactive. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I think we all know the verse. Well, let's read together. Okay? Ready? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, begin. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples before he literally left planet earth, another time he told them, you will be witnesses unto me. Okay, now what is the relevance of that? Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Jesus was actually directly quoting from the Old Testament. Okay, Isaiah 43 and verse 10. This is a verse that the Jehovah's Witnesses use. Okay? Isaiah 43 and verse 10. And I want us to understand the context of Isaiah 43 because it's very important with understanding what is a witness. Okay? Isaiah 43 verse 10. Let me read. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. When Jehovah God in the Old Testament told this to the children of Israel, there were a few things. Okay, there are three things that stand out in the verse. Number one, being a witness here in verse 10 is not what we choose to be, but who God has chosen us to be. Because he said in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Does that make sense? From the particular passage here, and Jesus uses it, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he is saying, you are my witnesses whom I have chosen. The word ye is in the plural. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, Acts 1 8, that word is in the plural. And he was talking to the people there. In other words, what the Bible is telling us, being a witness is not something any of these people chose, rather it was God chose them to be a witness. God chose them to be a witness, okay? And so that's being a witness is being chosen by God. Okay, that's the first point. Number two, what made them a witness was not something they did or practiced or earned. It was something they were. They were a witness. They didn't have to practice it. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to say, I need to try. They are witness. Does it make sense? Any questions there? Their connection or identification with God made them witnesses. This does not mean that the witness is passive. We bear witness, even we can even bear false witness, but there were specific things that Israel did and did not do which affected their witness or their testimony as witnesses. But you know what? Regardless, if you are a genuine Christian, you are a witness, according to the Bible. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 27. This is what Jesus told the apostles. John 15, 27. 27. Okay, let me read from verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit will testify of God the Son. But in verse 27, ye also shall bear witness. Why? Because ye have been with me from the beginning. The fact that the apostles were with Christ, Jesus says, you're going to bear witness of me because you knew all things. I mean, you were there. You saw everything that happened. Okay? And number three, a third observation is that a witness is this. It's first, so let's turn back to Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 12. In verse 10, ye are my witnesses, is the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. So the first part is that we are to know Christ. Okay, the first part is that we know him, and then we are to make him known. Because that's what verse 12 said. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Because you have known me, because you have seen me, because you have trusted me, because you have seen the things that I have done for you, for me. It was a blessing for me, you know, in this whole thing about moving our church towards a discipleship church. Someone sent me a CD on discipleship, just everything, all the lessons and everything. And then he said, do we need to pay anything? He said, you know what he said? He said, there's no charge for it. It is my, gift to God for what God has done for me. Just use it freely. Just duplicate as many as you want. Burn for anyone who do discipleship. Alright? Not that I'll take wholesale, but you know what? It was an encouragement to me that someone would spend their time doing a whole series, alright, of discipleship lessons and give to anyone who would use it. Just because they want to give it as a gift for God. And you won't accept any donations whatsoever. Okay? And so in this situation, there's three things, okay? Understand this, a witness is chosen by God. A witness is chosen by God. Which means that if you're a Christian, you have known Christ, you are a witness, full stop. And a witness is not an option, it's an obligation. Because God called us to be witnesses. That's why sometimes it's very hard for Christians to understand. Witnessing and soul winning is an absolutely vital part of the Christian life. Because if we keep the salvation to ourselves and we not tell someone else, we're being ungrateful to our God. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I'm a debtor. You know, everyone that I meet, I owe the gospel to. Okay? Alright? So I just want to lay that down first because it's very important. Because for us as Christians, we can go away and say, I cannot talk, so I cannot share. No, God says you got to do something to get the gospel out to someone, and know it begins with us personally, alright? And so witnesses are not what we choose, but God chose us. Number two, witnesses is not something that we practice, it's just who we are. We just have to tell people what happened to us. And the third observation is, a witness is someone who knows God so that he can make God known to someone else. Okay? So why is a witness? I just summarized it. Someone who has known who God is, trusted him as Savior, and have been appointed or chosen and made witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a choice. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, I believe the verse is there. Never mind, I'll give it to you. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall Mr. Wang call on a God when no one goes to tell him about it? That's what Paul is saying. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear? Well, you know, one of the things that we have a lot of good friends, but sometimes our good friends have never heard about the gospel. And they have known us for many years. You know, that I don't know about you, but that kicks me all the time. I say, shh, you have never shared the gospel with this guy. You know him for 10 years. Okay, God, I will do something about that. No? Okay? I want to encourage us with this, with an illustration. Everyone of us will know this evangelist, I think, Wesley. Charles Wesley, I think, was evangelist. And so it was Whitfield, George Whitfield. So he was preaching very hard. And there was one non-unsafe family who invited him to their house one day, you know. But because he was so nice to him, so, you know, if someone is so nice to him, you don't just come and say, you're a sinner and dying, going to hell. Right? So sometimes it's very hard to bring up the fact that you guys are sinners and on your way to hell, you need Jesus Christ. That was exactly what, now he's in the atheist, he was a Christian before. He says, how can you just go around and tell people that they are sinners? Well, that's what the Bible says. But coming back to George Whitfield's story, he went to the house. He felt very uncomfortable because by sharing the gospel, he must tell this guy that they are sinners. You know, they stayed for a few days. You know, they were still very nice. They prepared a good room for him, fed him well and all that. But he just felt so uncomfortable. On the last night before he left, the Holy Spirit was really working on him. You got to do something. You know, this house is not safe. You know, before he left, the testimony to us that before he left, he actually wrote something on the window pane because it was dewy. So he wrote something there. He didn't actually share directly with the family. You know, family was pretty disappointed. Actually, the idea of the family, they wanted to know what George Whitfield had to say. You know, in the testimony, it was interesting. It's interesting, as much as we are fearful of telling, actually those guys are wanting to hear. Alright, that's a lesson for me. But you know what? The family was a little bit disappointed initially, alright, that Mr. George Whitfield didn't say anything to them. But you know, husband said, I'm sure he left us something. And true enough, that writing on the wall, on the window pane, was enough to lead the entire family to Christ. You know what that teaches me? Do something. All God wants us to is to be obedient. Just do something that will touch someone. And say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. You know, God, I can't talk much, but God, why do you print 18,000 tracts? You know, just give to someone. Okay, the youth yesterday, as part of their game, they're supposed to go give tracts to someone and take photographs with them. You know, kind of like the amazing thing. But you know what? And hopefully the youth will begin to break down the fear factor and just tell someone about Christ. Do something. You know, do something. And some people will say, I don't want, you know, that's okay. I've learned one thing, the worst that people can do to you is say no. Okay? And remember, when they say no to you, they're not saying no to you, they're saying no to God. Alright? So do something for Christ. Okay? Okay, now we need to understand what's the gospel very quickly. Alright? What is the gospel? Because before we share before we actually share the gospel with someone, we need to know the gospel. Okay? Now, I want you to take 2 minutes very quickly. Alright? Write down in there, what is the gospel to you? Because you need to know what the gospel before you can share it. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ that you need to share? Okay, just 2 minutes very quickly. Then we get... Yeah, just write down here. Alright, you can write down on one side and then we'll share on the other side. Okay? Just 2 minutes. What is the gospel to you? Just write down. Alright? Or you think about this way. You're saved. What's the gospel to yourself? And then, how are you going to share to someone else? Is the gospel. When is the gospel? Huh? Okay, for those who are ready, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15, alright? Okay. Are we ready? Okay, let me just read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, okay? So as you hear, I know you've written down some things, I'll just read. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again in the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay, so what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is good news, okay? But what is the gospel? What will you share with someone? Okay, Jesus died for our sins, and the third day rose again, okay? That's the gospel. How many of you have anything else? Okay, it's interesting. The gospel of Christ, I know there are many other things, okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 1 to 4 is just this. Jesus Christ died for sinners and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. But in order to present the gospel, you need to also present that men are lost. Because otherwise, there's one thing that's very important. If I don't know I'm lost, why should I be saved? Okay, if I don't know why I'm lost, why should I be saved? Okay, there are many evangelistic tools out there. One of the things we've learned very much is, in the Jewish culture, they already knew who Jehovah God is. They already know everything about what it means to be repenting and turning back to God. But you know what? The Gentile world doesn't know. The Gentile world have their own thinking and philosophy. Okay, and so that's why in Acts 17, Paul actually had to go back all the way to creation. Okay, I'll just give you very quickly a few points. All right, then after I go into how to share your faith. Okay, the gospel really is in 1 Corinthians 15:1, the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. Okay, but the points we need to highlight is, number one, God made man perfect. Basically, this one. All right. Okay, for those who know our track, that's what we do. Okay, if you don't know, there's 8 points you need to know. Okay, man made man perfect. God made man perfect. Sorry, God made man perfect. Okay, so which means man had good relationship with God after, but then after that, man chose to sin. Adam and Eve chose to sin. All right, then after that, because of the Ten Commandments, okay, God has written the law in our hearts. As the devil mentioned, we had the law in our hearts. We have transgressed God. Okay, we have sinned against God, and as a result, there is a price to pay for sin. Okay, but then God loves us so much that He sent the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. That if we would trust Him, we have eternal life. Okay? So that's basically the points you need to understand. If you're not too sure, just take the booklet and read through. Alright? So there's any questions there? Because right now we're going to quickly go into some ways of sharing your faith. Okay? Any questions on the gospel? Remember, as you share this, it's just a tool. And whatever I'm going to share with you about 4 or 5 ways of sharing the gospel, those are just tools, okay? The real person that will save the person is not you. It's not the booklet. It's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict, and the Lord Jesus Christ will save him. That's a real... for us, our job is just to be faithful. Our job is just to be faithful all the time. It's the Holy Spirit that uses our efforts to bring someone to Christ. Okay? So any questions? Any questions? No? No questions? Okay. What I want to do is actually, there's a couple of ways of witnessing. Why don't we actually turn you to number 3 first. It's sharing your faith with pictures. Okay? Sharing your faith with pictures. The rest is a little bit, I want to also, we're going to practice a little bit, okay? Sharing your faith with pictures. Just 3 pictures that you must remember whenever you sit down with your friend and want to share the gospel with him or her. You know, sometimes when we share the gospel with someone, it's like, I got nothing. I didn't bring anything, you know. But I want to teach you something that you can immediately, straight away, be able to share, right? There are many, many permutations, many, many ways of doing it. But I saw this one is really, really easy. Okay, what I'd like you to do is actually in your, I know it's very small, but in your small gap here, actually just draw these little pictures, all right? This is three pictures. The first picture you draw is this. My the basic God here and man here. Okay, you just draw that picture. And through this you say, well, initially man, God created man. God created man. Okay? And there was no barrier between God and man. Okay, man was in perfect fellowship with God. Okay, it's just a stick figure, you don't have to be nice. Okay? You can even take your McDonald's, you can even take the tissue and start drawing on it, okay? And so basically there's open relationship with God. The reason why you still put God up there, initially I was thinking let's put God aside so that it's equal, that less people get the wrong idea. So I put God on top, which is true. God made man, okay? But, okay, any questions? First picture, second one. Sin came in, alright? There should be a S-I-N here. God and man were separated by sin. Okay, you can relate the Genesis chapter 3, how Adam and Eve fell into sin, and then God had to chase him away, not because God wanted to chase him away, but because of sin. Sin separated man from God. Okay? Then the third picture is very easy. What do you do? Just put Christ in between. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from your sin. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come to pay the price for our sin. All we need to do is to believe on Him. And one of the points that this particular sequence was saying was, at the end, you need to highlight the fact that it is your personal faith in Christ that will save Him. It is a voluntary choice that you made a choice. As much as God is calling the person by His grace, but you know what? The person has to respond. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Okay? Any questions? You think you can do that? Anytime, anywhere, lunchtime. You know what? Parents, you can even teach your children. It's very simple. But I found this easy because, I know there's another one, they draw this, they got to remember certain verses. But I think most of us actually know the background knowledge already. What I want to do is actually give you this so that anywhere you go, at any time, you can actually, when you are ready to share the gospel, or the God has opened the door, and you got nothing else, you just whip up this. Okay? So first, you put God and man. Okay, God created man, and man and God were in perfect relationship. And then after that, sin came in and blocked the relationship. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. I asked Esther Joy to color it red because of the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Alright? Okay? And then here, it's up to the person's choice to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay? Any questions? Alright? You can teach your children this. Okay? What I want to do for those who go tracting on Tuesday and Wednesday, let's practice this. Take a piece of paper, alright? You take a note or whatever as you're talking to people, can I share and really draw? Okay? Alright, so those who can, I think it's just a way of just putting into practice what we actually actively learn. The more you practice it, the easier it will become. Alright? Of course, you do have to have some verses at the side just to remind you. I think it's a very straightforward way of sharing your faith. Okay, any questions there? Alright, let's. Okay, so we have the sharing your faith with pictures, okay? Another way of sharing your faith is, I was reading this and all they mentioned was actually sharing your faith with a booklet. That's what I do all the time when I share the gospel with people at the door. Alright? It was interesting because on Wednesday when I was sharing the gospel with this, I think it was a 14 or 15 year old girl, I was there knocking the door. Two of them was watching television, one of them was playing handphone as usual, the oldest one. And I said, usually when there's children there, I will not speak to them. I said, is your parents at home? I'd rather address the parents, okay? So he said, Dad, do you want to come out initially? Alright, then the older sister came. And then she was quite okay, quite open. So I actually started to share the gospel, okay? And I was up to page 2 and Dad came out. This all happens all the time. But you know, I already put 2 tracks into the house. But you know, all we need to do sometimes, if you don't have a Bible, but you have a track, it's just to go through the track. Just read through to them. Okay, some practical ways here is, hold the booklet steady. Don't do this. Have you had people share with you before other things are not this one, and they keep moving? You know what happens to your eyes? After a while, you don't want to pay attention because you're like, you got groggy, because in terms of visual perception, your eyes have to like have to lock onto the thing first, and then information go in, then you process. But if it keeps on moving, you're not even locking on. So the brain is not engaged at all. Okay, so one of the first strategies, hold the booklet steady. Usually I'll do that and I'll actually point, God made man perfect. Then I'll use that, because it's big, I'll then explain. Okay, if you have time with your friend especially, you'll go through, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, you can say this actually is a Bible passage. Okay, be everything we can see on this earth did not come by random chance. God created them from nothing, and so you can actually read through. Alright, this will take probably about 3 to 5 minutes. You can go through. Very, very simple way of sharing. You don't even need to remember anything. It's all there. Okay? Any questions? Because what I'm going to do is next week, now it's 10:30 already. Next week we're going to practice. Alright? Friends. Okay? Alright. Another way is, okay, you can read through A, B, C, D. But in number 2, sharing Christ with your testimony. Sharing Christ with your testimony. One of the things is this. There's 3 things. Let's turn to X26. X26. I can use the Bible as a basis. X26. You will find that Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." He meant it. Because God didn't call us to be Bible scholars before we share. Many people say, "Brother Johnny, I don't know what to say." Well, just tell people what happened to you. Just tell people what happened to you. That was what Paul did. Let me just read Acts 26, okay? And then you will see what Paul is doing. Let's beginning at verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things wherein I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all custom and questions which are among the Jews. Therefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." What a blessing to share your life testimony to a king, okay? In fact, that was what Jesus said. "You will testify before kings." I mean, that's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 9. He said in verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own state nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I live a Pharisee. And now I stand and judge for the hope made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Okay, "Why should I be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" And so he went on in verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme." Verse 12. "Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven." Okay, from verse 1 to verse 12, do you realize Paul was relating his life before he got saved? That was his life before he got saved. Now, how did he get saved? Verse 12. 13. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I say, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee." That was how he got saved. Remember, if you read Acts chapter 9, it's almost exactly what Acts chapter 9 said of the experience of Paul. So that was how he got saved. What happened after he got saved? In verse 18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit an inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed forth unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works." Alright? And so what did Paul do? What happened after he got saved? Immediately he obeyed the heavenly vision, he went forth and did what God told him to do. Before he got saved, what happened when he got saved? And what happened after he got saved. That is exactly what we do with everyone who would come into Ambassador Baptist Church. They are required to give a testimony of their salvation, because Jesus said, upon this rock, the rock of their confession, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they will be admitted into the church. Okay? And so all you need to do is to tell your friends, you know, last time, I play marbles, I gamble, and all that, and I don't care about God, I disobey my parents, but one day my friend brought me to church. I can relate that friend. And well, I was there, I heard the message, I trusted Christ. And then after that, this is what happened. Every Christian must have that testimony. If you don't have that testimony, that's why sometimes when you speak to people, they say, oh, I believe in God all my life. That's not a testimony. That's just a self-revelation. But testimony is, you know, last time I was like that, but then, because when you get saved, you know you get saved at that time, because the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you trusted Him. And you know, when you share, that's why Jesus said, you are witnesses. You are not a Bible scholar. You don't have to teach me about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to teach me about Christ. You just have to tell what happened to you. Last time I was like this, I was disobedient, but then you know what now? After I heard the gospel, you know, there's something in my heart that says I need to trust Christ. And you take the step of faith and you trusted Christ. And after that, what happened? You started to study the Bible, you started to read or whatever, and you find that your life and your ambition starts to change. You know, every Christian must have that testimony, because that's Bible. And if you look at all the apostles, they actually had the testimony too. Some of them not written in detail, but like the Apostle Paul's, but you can see a change. Like Zacchaeus, for example. Okay, his life was totally changed. And Jesus said, today salvation come to this house. Even this is a child of Abraham. Okay, so we can share our testimony with someone. You know, sometimes people may not be interested in what the church teaches, but you know, he's very interested in what happened to you. Why you are a Christian, that's different. Does it make sense? It's very different to say, God, let me tell you what the Bible teaches. And not interested. Let me tell you what happened to me. Oh, really? Okay. Usually, people are more interested in listening to a story. And then make your life a story. You know, just share, this is what happened. You know what? Last time, you can even tell some funny things about your life, the kind of thing that will kind of generate more interest. But the key thing is that the goal is to share the gospel with that person. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Alright, point number four, very quickly, sharing our faith after a service. Alright, I hope everyone in Ambassador will actually have that kind of heart. For example, when the evangelistic meeting will be on, what we do after the service, rather than just straight away, thank God it's over, kind of thing, turn to someone who we have invited, you know, and say, well, what do you think of the service? Okay, this is some points. What do you think about the service? Did it make sense to you? And really, because you're in church, they would expect the kind of question, you know, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? It's interesting, the last time, last year, I think there was this, those who you remember, Hing Ling and Audrey, I think you brought, deliberately brought someone who was not a Christian, and that not a Christian took leave just to come for an evangelistic meeting. And we thank God for that. She didn't trust Christ that day, but you know what? I put her to her side, we were able to share the gospel with her. You know what? She may not have trusted Christ, but she has heard what Christ did for her. Alright? And during that situation, you know what? In an evangelist meeting in the church, people are generally more receptive. Okay? We don't have to like Bible bang them, but you know, just gently share with them. And if you find that they're very comfortable, take it slowly. If you're open, they just go straight in. But you know what? Here's it didn't make sense to you. And then, have you trusted Christ to forgive your sins as presented by the service? If your friend answers no, then you can go ahead and share the gospel again and maybe explain some things to them, okay? I want us to, as a church, be absolutely so sensitive in the sense of whenever someone has come into the church, that we will actually say, Lord, here's my age range, and Lord, can I share something about Christ to this person? And it's so important, because I believe with all my heart, sometimes God just sent one time and that's it. I think my mom brought Andrew. He came to church at the baptism. Then he came to church on Sunday and he trusted Christ and went back, and we never saw him again. Okay, and I think some of our sisters who went to Vietnam was able to keep in touch with them. you know what? Thank God Brasso was here and then he was able to share the gospel with him. You know what? If a person trusts Christ, amen. If he doesn't, at least we did our job to share with them the gospel. And I hope that we'll have this heart that everyone that comes to Ambassador will never leave unless they've heard the gospel at least by someone, or at least even if just have a tract that's given to them, so that at least they know the gospel. Okay? Any questions? The last one, very quickly, sharing our faith with prayer. Some people may not want you to share the gospel, but they may. What you can do, I know it's it takes a little bit of courage to say, can I pray with you? You know, or is there something in your life? Oh, I heard. Maybe the person, you know, sometimes the world's people will call your woes and all that kind of thing. I've learned this thing. I've asked them, can I pray with you? Sometimes they will, okay. Generally, there's a startled part because I'm sure never in their life have someone actually offered to pray for them. But you know what? If you pray, you may be doing something in their life that God can make a change. You know? It doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be like whole theological thing. But just say, can I pray with you? You generally, I found that even for non-believers, no matter what kind of situation they are, they say, okay. And then you say, well, you just close our eyes and bow our heads and probably I'll take about 10 seconds, 20 seconds, finish that prayer. They'll say, I'll keep praying for you. And you know what? That could just happen. And you know what? Generally, people, because you know what? When you pray, prayer is communication with God. It has to do with the soul and the spirit. It has to do with the soul and the spirit. The person may be listening, but what you're doing is ministering to the soul and the spirit. Okay? And God can use that prayer to awaken that person's heart. Not teaching them mystical things, but it's just what happens when we pray. God, we speak to God. And in that situation, people may be uncomfortable, but you know, God can use that to awaken their soul. Okay? So, but any questions, we won't do application. Our application, just read through application next week, we'll actually do that. Alright? We'll probably use this for next week again. Alright? Please keep it so we can touch on the follow-up part. Any questions? Any questions? Can I challenge you this week? Just one person. Share the gospel in pictures with. Just one person. Okay? Whether it's attracting, whether in school. Okay, whether if you want to practice with someone at home, just get some practice. And you know what? The goal is to enskill us so that we will be disciples of Christ that will at least be able to carry the gospel to someone else in a simple way. And the more you practice it, I can tell you, you'll be surprised what God can do with a group of people that's willing to trust Christ and just obey Him, all right, in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer, right, as we close. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the listening of your people. God, these are practical skills that we can share. Lord, as we look at the Bible, we realize that even in New Testament Christianity, the disciples didn't even have pencils. Or they didn't have probably proper paper. All they did was go everywhere and open their mouths about the gospel. And Lord, we know that in history, we know by Acts chapter 6, there was about 50,000 in the early church. Why? All because of the testimony and the witnessing of every Christian in the early church. Lord, help us to remember Mr. Wang. Yeah, it's a fictitious name. But Lord, there's someone who has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, you have left us the Great Commission. You've taught us that we are your witnesses, chosen by you, Father, to just be a witness. Lord, we don't have to be a theologian. We don't have to be a pastor. We don't have to be a missionary. We just have to share what you have done for us to someone else. Oh God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will do a mighty work in all our lives. Lord, teach us this principle and help us to use it on a regular basis so that more people will trust Christ. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.